Jesus shares these words with the woman at the well. If you knew the gift of God and the one who tells you this, you would have the living water. If you knew the gift of God, what is the gift of God? The gift of God to all creation is Christ Jesus. He's sitting there beside the well, thirsty, and offering her living water. And she was excited about that because living water was better than well water. You see, in Bible times, living water was flowing water. Well water generally is water from seepage. I mean, it can be there for a long time, and I guess you could say in some sense it's flowing. It flows into the well. But a stream is living water, particularly to people who live in more arid desert countries. How many of you, you know, our world's changed so much, you don't see these things anymore. How many of you have ever seen an artesian well? Okay, great. And that's a well where the water is just bubbling up. It's kind of a spring, and it's bubbly. That's living water. And that sounded really great to this woman, that she could get living water. But she missed the point. And you know, we missed the point. Because the point was that she was standing in the presence of God. If you knew the gift of God, and He who it is that is saying this to you, I mean, that might be better translated, if you knew the gift of God, He it is who's saying this to you, I'm the gift of God, you'd ask for more. You know, that passage in Exodus that Robert read is a good one. I mean, the people were on their way to the promised land. They had been delivered from captivity in Egypt. They had seen God do amazing things. I mean, hadn't you ever just wished that you could have been back in biblical times and seen some of that stuff? Boy, I'd have a lot more faith if I'd have seen all those plagues coming. If I'd have been around when Moses took that staff and touched the Nile and it turned to blood. Boy, I tell you, God can do some pretty big things. And then they were finally set free, and here were thousands of people, and they were right at the Red Sea, and they could see the dust of Pharaoh's chariots coming towards them. Whoops, that comes to mind. What are we going to do? We're going to die here. And He lifted up the staff, and the sea parted. And they walked across on dry ground. I'm not sure they were real impressed with that, with the Pharaoh's army coming. I think they had a little more of their mind on what was behind them than what God had done in the midst of them. But they got to the other side of the sea, and Moses lowered his arm, and the sea crushed in and wiped out the chariots and Pharaoh's army. They'd seen all that. And now, in chapter 17 of Exodus, they're quarreling, griping, and complaining. Sounds like church folks. Boy, that's God's people for you. But you see, we're human. We get into arguments and situations and misunderstandings. And you know, Moses kind of lost his cool a little bit there too. Because he finally turned to the Lord in prayer. But see, they were complaining because they were thirsty. And you know, once we start complaining, we get really good at it, don't we? I mean, once we get on a roll, we can complain, can't we? I mean, you know, my family thinks I'm kind of a world champion at that. You know, if they had a contest for it, I think they'd nominate me. Because they say when I get on something, I just go and go and go, you know, like the ever-ready bunny. And, you know, once you get on a negative roll, boy, you can just let that stuff roll. And they were out there, and poor old Moses says, God, what am I going to do? These people are so upset with me that they're going to stone me. Here's the man standing there with the same staff that touched the Nile and turned it to blood, the same staff that he lifted up and parted the Red Sea, and what's he worried about? They're going to stone me, God. I mean, they're complaining so bad, they're going to get rid of me. They think I let them out here. This is your idea, God, not mine. Even Moses, the meekest man of all in the Scripture, forgot the power of God because quarreling, complaining, and difficulties with people not getting what they wanted got in the way of the God who gives us everything. And God says, Moses, you know, I kind of think it probably, if we were really there and heard it, it would have been, Moses, Moses, Moses. Don't you think that's probably more realistic? Boy, how many times am I going to have to show you my power before you really trust me? Turn to me first. Don't get all worked up about it. But you see, those of us who lead religious people who quarrel and complain, you know, when they're looking around for somebody, they just say, hey, let's get the leader. He's a good target, and I make a pretty sizable target. And, you know, I get just like Moses. I get my eyes on that kind of thing instead of the one who delivers us all. And so God says, now, Moses, all you got to do is take some of your elders and go over here where I tell you to go. So he got the elders together, and they walked over there, and he says, now take that staff and tap that stone. And he took that staff that God had used so many times before, and he tapped that stone, and out came living water. See, it was flowing water. And I wasn't there. But you know, with thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are thirsty, I kind of think it was a gusher. I think it almost have to be. I mean, it couldn't have been some puny little trickle, or they'd have been there for months waiting for their share. Because the ground was going to soak up most of it, probably, wouldn't it? You know, I believe it was like turning on a giant fire hydrant. I mean, it was living water gushing out to meet the needs of the people of God. That's the kind of God we have. And Jesus says, if you just knew the gift of God, you'd have everything you need. Now, the word in that verse, knew, is the Hebrew Old Testament word for the relationship, the intimate, yes, even sexual relationship of a husband and a wife. If you knew Jesus more intimately than you can know any worldly partner, then you'd have springs of living water welling up inside you. All you could handle. But you know, we come Sunday after Sunday, and we sometimes don't even bring a bucket. But we won't live in water. Or we bring our bucket so full with so much mess, we couldn't get living water in it if we tried until we empty that bucket. Or because we're human beings, we bring our brokenness. And you know, it just flows right through us because we haven't created a reservoir to hold the living water of our God. Or we don't bring a rope so we can reach down to where the level of the water happens to be at that time. We come unprepared to encounter the gift of God. Oh, we know about Jesus. We know of Jesus. We know about the Scripture. We know of our Sunday school lessons. But do we know the gift of God in the most intimate, personal way that we can? And brothers and sisters in Christ, when we do that, we'll never thirst again. We'll never hunger. Every real need we have will be met. Do you know the gift of God this morning? Not just know about Him. Do you know Him? Do you want to know Him at that level? Well, He invites you into that kind of intimate relationship. And He says, come. Come. He's the bridegroom. We're the bride. Come. If you only knew, really knew, the gift of God. Let us pray. Gracious Father, that's why we're here. We're here to praise and glorify Your name because You have given us Your Son, Christ Jesus, and we know all about Him. At least a lot of us do. And others are coming because they want to know more. But take us beyond just knowing about Him and knowing of Him, and help us to know this gift in the most intimate way. And like the intimacy of a marriage, we don't go around talking about it because it's just too precious and too personal. We can talk about it, its effects, but it'll be so, so precious that we can't even put in words what it means when we know the gift of God, Christ Jesus. We long for that, Father. Lead us to Him. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.